I get asked every once in a while, or generally around Veterans Day, Memorial Day, July 4th, why we don't have a flag up in the sanctuary. And folks just don't understand the distinction, because it's a thin slice I'm trying to make. That there's a, if we let patriotism, nationalism, and Christianity or religion enmesh, then it gets really confusing for folks. This country we live in is blessed, but most of us don't remember that the reason that there are folks, that folks came to Maryland is because they were Catholics who were being persecuted. And the reason folks went to Massachusetts is because they were Puritans and they were being persecuted by the Catholics. Get confusing yet? And the folks in Georgia were generally prisoners, yeah, criminals. John Wesley went to Georgia, tried to preach to the Native Americans in Georgia. It turns out that if you went to Pennsylvania, you were being persecuted from one religious point of view, and Maryland, a different point of view, and Massachusetts, another point of view. But now we don't remember that we persecuted somebody somewhere. And it's a lot more messy, this country we live in. I think remembering the messy we came from allows us to see a clearer future. And so I don't mind when I think about how strong our country is today about talking about things like slavery. Well, either folks are really happy because I talked about how great America is, or they're happy because I brought up slavery, but nobody's happy that I did both of those two things. Right? So preaching around the edges of national holidays is a tricky thing. Let me say, as a good Boy Scout, I love America. I love, but I understand that I get rights and responsibilities, and therefore I have to pay taxes, and so I don't try to not pay taxes and then claim the rights. I know that it's a complex thing, this citizenship thing we do. We're blessed. We're blessed. There was a time when heroic things were done by individuals and the risk was great. We had noble aspirations. We had heroes worth remembering and quotes for monuments. Those aspirations are not gone. We still live with those aspirations. And these days, it seems that the way to live into those is to deal with it on a very local level. So, care for the folks in front of you. Fight for liberty for the folks in front of you. When you see someone face to face, care for them like Jesus is standing in front of you. It'll end up having a ripple effect. But this morning, I really don't want to spend a whole lot of time talking about patriotism and nationalism. I want to talk about the fact that in this little book, little letter to Galatians, Paul ends up trying to make a distinction between spirit and flesh. And sometimes we think that means that flesh only means sexual bad stuff. But the flesh word that Paul is using in this particular instance really means something more like the human condition. And I'm going to say the way we are addicted to self-interest. Does that make sense to you? That we seem, if you love shopping, it's hard to stop shopping. If you are a person who loves food, it's hard to say, I'm going to take this in moderation. If you like drinking, it's hard. We have groups so that folks don't get too carried away. That sense of addiction, though, isn't just with drinking and food and sex and shopping. It's also in our desires to be in control. In no matter what situation we are, It, I think, has to do with us trying to put ourselves first at every opportunity. And I understand that because nobody else understands my worldview like I do. And of course, I'm always right. Because with my history, this is exactly the way it's meant to be. Yeah, I get that that's not true. So Paul is speaking into this Greco-Roman world, which had a view of the world a little bit more like Plato than like Moses. So there's this sense of dialectic, this spirit is separated from body dynamic, whereas in Jewish tradition, they're enmeshed. They are woven together. I think the place we want to linger is I want to call our memory back to another part of Galatians. There's a place in Galatians that says the fruit of the Spirit looks like this. You've heard that before, haven't you? The phrase fruit of the Spirit. Can you remember all of them? Patience is one of them. That's the one you remember. Anybody else remember one or the other? Laura's got a song. Kids sing the song. Let's see. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And essentially, Paul is saying earlier in Galatians that these, if you see this, this is the effect of Spirit. You're aligned to the Spirit if you see these kind of things. All right, so I want you to think about what you watched on the news this week and tell me whether you saw love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, or self-control. All right, what about in your friendships this week? Love, joy, peace, patience, self-control, kindness, gentleness. Paul is inviting us to live in that world. Now, lots of us learn the fruits of the Spirit, but do you remember the fruits of the flesh? Does anybody remember any of the fruits of the flesh? Anybody? Anybody? We're guessing, aren't we? So if I were to say sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these, that's the way it says it in the Revised Standard. I want you to listen real quickly to Galatians 5 from the Message Bible. So this is Eugene Peterson trying to give us a deeper sense of what these words meant. It is obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way all the time. Repetitive, loveless, cheap sex. A stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage. Frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness. Trinket gods, magic show religion, paranoid loneliness, cutthroat competition, all-consuming yet never satisfied wants. Does that one sting? All-consuming yet never satisfied wants. A brutal temper. An impotence to love or be loved. Divided homes and divided lives. Small-minded and lopsided pursuits. The vicious habit of depersonalizing anyone into a rival. Uncontrolled and uncontrollable addictions. Ugly parodies of community. I could go on. This isn't the first time that I've warned you, you know. If you use your freedom this way, you will not inherit God's kingdom. But what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our own way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. Legalism is helpless in bringing this about. It only gets in the way. Among those who belong to Christ, everything connected with getting our own way and mindlessly responding to what everyone else calls necessity is killed off for good, crucified. All of us are in some kind of struggle. And it looks different for all of us. Jesus invites us, Paul invites us to move past that into a different kind of life. He calls it a new creation. I keep using the word transformed or transformation. And last Sunday as we were walking to lunch from here, Carla said, you know, you say transformation a lot, but I don't feel like I've had some big transformation in my life. Do you ever feel like I'm talking about things that you'd never experienced? And so I used a really, what she would consider, minute example in her life about how she treats folks differently because of something from her past. That she has taken that moment of struggle and that moment of pain, and now she deals with people totally different. It was not a God sticks his hands through the clouds, points his finger, and says, I want you to change this behavior. It was a, that didn't work right, and that didn't feel good, and so that's not who I want to be. And so part of what I want to invite us all to be in is as much as we possibly can to love the person in front of us. That may be all we can do. Is in this moment to love the person in front of us. Recognize that they are a gift from God. They have different gifts and graces. They have their own pains and fears and sorrows and hurts, and that makes them messy like us. Nobody in here is perfectly good, and nobody in here is perfectly evil. Those distinctions, trying to make it either or really clear, those don't work. Most of us are 51%, 49% kind of people. Much closer to the, I can't quite figure it out. Paul, in this passage, is talking about freedom, and I want us to think beyond national sense of freedom to a sense of personal freedom that we get from being connected to God. So maybe if this feels like a struggle, just remember this thing. God first. I know I keep saying it. It's because I need to say it to myself every day. Part of why prayer is important, part of why giving is important, part of why daily devotions or Bible study or fasting or journal writing, part of the reason that's important to us is not because God needs us to write more pages in our journals about God. It's because we need to re-center ourselves and aim the right direction. Stop the frenzy, close your eyes, figure out which direction God is, and go that way. I believe what Paul is trying to tell us is that true liberty is in the transformation. The transformation comes from God. It's the lessons learned. It's the little life changes. And in this new life, we move beyond ourselves and our worldview that I'm the most important thing in all the world, beyond individualism. And new life starts to look like abundance and self-transcendence and living in the eternal present without guilt over the past or anxiety about the future. Living in the present without worries about the past or the future. It means being connected, really in love with folks. Is God in control of your future? God first. We used the "In God We Trust" for our image this morning because I'm afraid that for some folks in our culture that we trust in money. And that's a really ironic thing we print on the money. But there are folks, and they're sitting with you, that see that those things are a blessing to be used to change the world. And so that spirit of generosity and abundance kicks in, and the Spirit shows up. I invite you to read Galatians from the very beginning to the very end this week. It will be on the test. I promise you it makes a difference. And if you have questions, write them down. I'll answer them when I get back from vacation. Carla and I are going to Ireland on Tuesday. So very excited about that. I'm hoping that the stillness and the beauty will allow me to spend a little time with God. I'm not sure I'll get all my emails, so send them after I get back. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, allow each breath we take to remind us to slow down and connect to you, to lean into and look for gentleness and love, and for us to be aware of those places in our lives where we let fear win, where we let ourselves discount or dehumanize another so that we can get away with behaving poorly. Let us see each other as gifts from God, as instances of God, as children of God, joint heirs with Jesus. Lord, we are blessed. Help us to see that blessing, to not claim it for our own selfish needs, but to claim it on behalf of humanity and live life for all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.